Well, so just kind of first and foremost, kind of talk about your background a little bit and how you got into politics.
Yeah, so again, my name's Jaden Terrazas, running for State Senate District 10. Our district is Ponca City, Newkirk, Tonkawa, and then the entirety of Osage County. I was born and raised in Ponca City, went to public school here, pre-K through 12, and then went down to Oklahoma State in 2017, where I studied agricultural business with a minor in real estate appraisal and a focus in pre-law. At one point, thought about going to law school. That's the reason for the pre-law there. And then I actually graduated a year early from college. I had enough 18-hour semesters and additional hours during high school to get out a year early. And so that landed me graduating in the spring of 2020, which most people will remember as COVID spring. And the job market wasn't exactly looking great at that point. And I also wasn't sure what COVID was going to do. At that point, the whole world really wasn't sure what exactly was going to happen there. We were only about a month and a half into it. And so I didn't know if law school was the right move at that point either. But I did have a job offer already lined up with a company called Amazon. And at the time, they were about the only company that wasn't closing down. As a matter of fact, they were expanding rapidly during COVID. And so I thought, oh, what the heck? Everyone else is shutting down and this place is roaring and going. And so I took an entry-level warehouse manager position with them and opened the facility over in Owosso right off 169. And right off the bat, straight out of college, I had 60 employees working under me and an assistant in a warehouse setting, working 4 12-hour shifts a week. And it was good money at the time. It was before the inflation crisis had taken over. And so I had good money and a good job and was managing 60 people right off the bat, which was pretty crazy for a 21-year-old. But I took it and hit the ground running and wasn't afraid to mess up and ask questions and recover and be successful after those mess ups. And so stayed with them in the Owosso area for just over 4 years. Spent about 3 years on the night shift working graveyards in a warehouse and moved up the ranks, got promoted 4 times in 4 years. And that landed me as one of the youngest senior managers in company history at Amazon. At that point, the building there didn't have a position open for me. And so it was either stay at your current level, or if you want your promotion, you might have to move. And I didn't really want to leave Oklahoma. And so I kind of toyed around with it. And what happened instead is I kind of joined a little bit of a traveling team. And we would go around the country and go to poor performing facilities, put them on 6 to 8 week improvement plans. And then they either got better or the next group that came in made hiring decisions. And so I did that for a little over a year and a half and traveled all over the country with Amazon and was home based still in Oklahoma at that point and had a good time doing it. At my biggest building, I had 1,200 employees under me and 28 of them being salaried managers. The rest were hourly warehouse workers and had a great time. At that point, I was 25. And I just thought, you know, I'm making the best money I've ever made in my life. My ramp up the corporate ladder is endless at this point. But the work I was doing wasn't really fulfilling or necessarily impactful in a real way. Obviously, when we would go in and improve a facility, it makes it better for both the workers and the company. But in a real sense, that wasn't fulfilling to me. And as a Christian, it matters the work that I do. And so I kind of sat back and looked at it. I've always been a U.S. history nerd and really enjoyed keeping up with current events. And so started thinking about, well, I've always been interested in getting involved at the state level for politics. And so I looked at it and just so happened that this Senate seat was one that I felt could use a stronger conservative representative in it. And so I started looking at the groundwork of what it would take and kind of the budget for a campaign. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take a huge leap of faith here to pursue a role for me that is more fulfilling and more impactful to real people. And so I resigned from Amazon at the end of last year, got them through one more busy Christmas season, and then resigned and started campaigning. So State Senate District 10 is one of 48 in the whole state. and it's home for me. I spent all of my childhood years and high school years hunting and fishing all over the county and Kay County and Osage County, and love cattle country. I just feel like running for this office gets to give me an opportunity to apply my skill set and also give the voters of this district a true conservative in an office that historically has had good ones and here recently has had not so strong of a conservative. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it. I'm not a politician. I've not been involved in politics in an elected way before. And so I think it gives a good opportunity for an outsider's perspective to enter Oklahoma City and say, you know, what are you guys doing here? Especially someone who has led teams of over 1,000 people with multi-million dollar budgets. You know, you just don't get that opportunity to elect somebody with that type of private sector experience in Oklahoma very often. And so I think it's a unique opportunity for me and also a unique option for the voters of our district to look at a young guy who has a bright history already, even only at 27 years old, and say, maybe this is somebody that can represent us. And one way I'm trying to ensure that is from the very beginning, I refuse lobbyist money. That's a central point of my campaign is we're not taking lobbyist money. We're not taking PAC money. We're not taking special interest money, because what I see too often is you have these politicians in Oklahoma City who take in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from groups that you've never heard of. And then you're supposed to think as a voter that that person has my best interest in mind. And I simply don't think that's the case. When you look at someone who takes in money from 50 or 60 or more political action committees from varying groups all across the spectrum, as a voter, you look at that and you think, is that person representing me, or is that person representing 50 some organizations and then me? And so that's been a central point of my campaign. The other thing that I think is truly important is I've committed to only run twice for this position. If I'm lucky enough and the voters trust me enough to vote me in this time, I will cap myself at two terms in the state Senate. You can go for three, which is 12 years. I just don't think anybody needs more than 8 years in a singular position. We have those caps at the presidential level. We have those caps at the governor level. And I think we should put them at the state representative and state senator level as well. So that's kind of the gist of the campaign and why we got into it.
Well, then just kind of talk about your platform a little bit.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, two central points of it are the no lobbyist money and the two-term cap for myself in the state Senate. And so for me, as someone who's entering the political scene as a no name and needing to earn the trust of voters, but also the attention of voters very quickly, the no lobbyist money and no special interest money is a huge catch for people. It's something that everyone has known is a problem for a long time, but there's very seldom candidates that are viable options who refuse that type of funding. And so that's a huge point for us. As I mentioned, the two-term thing, I've had a lot of people say, Jaden, don't take that pledge, because if you're as good as we think you are, we want you there for all 12 years. And I said, guys, listen, you have a hard time convincing me that out of 4 million Oklahomans, you can't find an even better candidate every 8 years for every office. And so I'm sticking with that pledge. I made it early on in the campaign. And like I said, I have to earn the trust of the voters first, this first term, to even make it relevant. But I really believe that we're running a great campaign, and responses have been incredible with the people. We're knocking on doors, and I think that they'll know after my first term, this guy is somebody we can trust and who actually fights for us. A little bit of the platform, and it, I'll tell you straight up front, I hate it when people are what I call pet project candidates. And so you'll have people run a campaign and immediately there's two or three or four things that are like, I'm going to Oklahoma City to do this, or I'm going to DC to do this. And they have specific project areas. And I think that's not only an unhealthy approach to politics and representation, but an unconstitutional one. And so what I view, especially as a state senator, where there's far less of us, far fewer, there's 48 compared to the House where there's 101, really what people need to understand about elected office is you're trying to elect somebody not just to represent your hot topic or your special interest of that season, but someone who can understand the law of the land, the United States Constitution, the Oklahoma Constitution, the Oklahoma State statutes, and say, how is this person going to ensure that those laws are interpreted correctly, legislated properly, and upheld, while also ensuring that there's no malicious institutional changes to them, and also fighting for conservative adaptations or new laws written to the books that further embrace what the American experiment was all about from the beginning. And so I'm trying to present myself as a constitutional representative that voters can have, so that no matter what the bill is or no matter what the policy is, they know how I'm going to make that decision. And as a Christian, that's a huge part of my decision making. And as a constitutional conservative, that's the other part of my decision making. And so when I'm looking at a bill, it's okay, is this in line with my personal biblical values, which I would wager the majority of voters in my district and in the state of Oklahoma align with, even if they're not particularly religious people? And then number two, is it in line with the Constitution of the United States and the state of Oklahoma? And so those are the underlying, this is what I want people to look for in my campaign, is that's how we're going to make decisions, that's how we're going to govern. But then, of course, everyone wants to know about education. They want to know about illegal immigration. They want to know about taxes. And so I have a plethora of responses on all of those things. And so we can get into that more if you'd like. But that's my answer when people say, well, what's your platform? It's no lobbyist money, capping myself at 8 years in this position, and to govern as a biblical constitutional conservative for the people of Oklahoma.
Well, Senator Coleman, he'll be running for his third term in office. Just, you know, both you guys are Republicans at the end of the day. You know, people go in seeing primaries and two Republicans, two Democrats, what have you. But just what are some of the biggest differences you see in yourself and Senator Coleman?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it is a primary. And so what I tell people in a primary is you should vote for the person that represents your perspective the most. And that doesn't mean they're always the most strong candidate. It doesn't mean that they're always the weakest candidate either, even though they may represent you well. It just means the primary is the time within the party to say, this is the person who represents the party's values and my values the most. And so I think that I am that candidate for Republicans in this primary. The reason, one of the main reasons that I ran for state Senate is because I knew that I could be a more conservative option for the voters compared to Senator Coleman. And I don't want to go off on an attack here, but the record is speaks for itself. And everything that I've said about the senator at this point is verifiable. I haven't gone on personal attack, and I'm going to continue to not go on personal attacks because the record is there and people can look it up. When it comes to money, he's taken money from 38 different special interest groups just since January. I've taken money from zero special interest groups. All of my campaign contributions are from individuals that live in our state, in our district, or have a vested interest in the policies of our state because of their personal home roots or their business roots or what have you. Second thing is, one of the most overarching issues in the political scene at the national level and the state level is immigration. And I am a very strong anti-illegal immigration candidate. My family on my dad's side, hence the name Terrazas, are Mexican and Spanish immigrants who came here legally decades ago, did their paperwork like they're supposed to, and earned citizenship the right way. And we're very proud of that on that side of the family. My family on my mother's side goes back to the colony of Maryland, to the colony of Virginia, all the way back to Scotland and Ireland, who immigrated over in the pre-1700 era. And so I've got unique pieces of the American story running through my blood. And the beauty of both of those is it's legal immigration or legal settling. And so when you look at Senator Coleman's voting record, he voted to give illegal immigrants driver's licenses. And when you look at something as atrocious as that, say that is something that a Republican in the bright red state of Oklahoma should never touch with a 10-foot pole. But not only did Senator Coleman vote for it, he voted for it twice, and he debated in the committee in favor of it. His rationale is that law enforcement wanted it. Well, on that committee, there were 9 senators on the committee. When it got voted out of committee, it was an 8-to-1 vote. The one vote that voted against it was Senator Weaver, who was a member of law enforcement on that committee at the time. And so when you say it's for law enforcement, but the one person on the committee who was a former member of law enforcement voted against it, that argument doesn't hold any water. And then most recently, on the illegal immigration piece, the Senate pro temp blocked a procedural motion to allow a vote on a bill to kick illegals off of Medicaid in the state of Oklahoma. During the show vote, several weeks prior to that one, Senator Coleman voted in favor of that policy. And then when it came time to give it a real vote that would put it into law or put it into over to the House, Senator Coleman voted no on that procedural motion to give it a fair chance to get a real vote. And so he's trying to play the game where I'm going to vote yes when it makes it look good, and then when it actually matters, vote no. And I just am trying to shed light on what goes on in the Senate so that the voters have an informed conscience and they can decide whether that person represents them or not. And so on that topic, we're miles and miles apart, it seems. And then on others, we're probably pretty close together, such as small business regulation and how we need to remove red tape, et cetera. And so I would just say those are some of the most glaring differences. If people want more of that record, they can go to JadenTerrazas.com, and I have a full list of his voting record there that shows people the history of his 8 years in the Senate.
Well, if people would like to get more information about your campaign, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can go to www.JadenTerrazas.com. You can go to Facebook, and it's Jaden Terrazas for State Senate District 10. Or you can go to X, and my username there is JT4OK, and that's the whole thing, JT4OK.
Okay. Well, finally, is there anything else that I may have left out that you would like to add?
Yeah, I would just say that the state of our nation and the health of the state of Oklahoma when it comes to politics, both have ebbed and flowed quite a bit in the last 8 years. You had a full term of Trump. You had a full term of Biden. At the state level, you've had a full 8 years of Kevin Stitt. And the Republicans in Oklahoma have had a supermajority in both chambers and in the governor's office for all of those 8 years. When you look at how they've governed, you can't say that it looks like we've governed as a true conservative state. And I'll levy to the voters listening or reading this that it's because we haven't had a true conservative state. You have many people in the state of Oklahoma who claim to be conservative Republicans, and their voting records and their antics in the state capitol simply don't support that. And so what I'm trying to offer to our voters for the first time in a while is someone who's a true conservative, will govern the way they campaign. And when you look at their voting record years down the road compared to their campaign years down the road, they align. What you see in my opponent is a voting record that is in line with the liberals or even very, very moderate Republicans. And then you have a campaign coming out from him that is pictures of him photoshopped with President Trump and showing as the most anti-illegal immigration law in the country. And that just simply doesn't align with his voting record. And so I'm trying to be really transparent. I'm trying to do it the right way and not take money from the special interest group. We're knocking on doors. We're holding town halls. We're taking questions from voters. My phone number is 580-749-9522. People can message me on Facebook. They can text me. They can call me and ask questions. I'm a young guy. I'm 27. I've had an extremely successful career, managed thousands of people, millions and tens of millions of dollars at one of the largest companies in the world. And what's unique about having somebody with that level of experience at such a young age is I've got the ability to make the high caliber decisions. I've got the experience managing tens of millions of dollars. I've got the experience interacting with thousands of people a week in my professional role as their boss. And also, if I go to the state Senate and start writing and voting on legislation, I'm going to have to live with those decisions for a long time. I'm only 27. God willing, I'm here for a long time to come. And so I think for the future of our state, the future of our country, it's important. Sorry, that's my dog.
That's all right.
It's important that we elect representation that is actually going to have to live with the outcome of their legislation and who has a vested interest in the future generations of our state. And you can still say I am a future generation of our state, even though I'm already 27. And so I think it's time for new blood, not just in the state Senate, but in a variety of offices across our country and state. And I'm trying to give voters a true conservative, biblical candidate that they can support in doing that.